Welcome back. This is Mitch McAllister of Notes from the Underground, Monday, March 28th, 2005.
Yeah.
All right. That was Controller. Actually, that this track was brought in from a friend of mine, Chris Tarantino, who just got back from South by Southwest. I went through a rather lengthy discussion last week of some of the bands I would have caught. And funny enough, not a single one of those bands was on Chris's list. So he brought in a bunch of tracks for us to play on the show today. And I don't know. I just thought I'd bring him in to play some tunes and to see, give us some of you guys there at home some sort of an idea of what it was like. And, you know, I don't know. So what were some of the highlights?
That band there, Controller, I actually missed. Which, if you do go to Southwest, you'll learn you have to do a lot of. You have to make some hard decisions and miss some bands you really want to see. But they also just played L.A. They opened for Death From Above 1979, who are kind of metal sounding. But I saw them down there, and they kind of impressed me. But both those bands are good. This is my second year going. I would say this year I was a lot more organized just because I knew what to expect.
You were more organized.
I was more organized. The festival was the same. I just knew what to expect this year, where last year I was just kind of like blindsided. It was just so much music and so much booze and so many people that you're like just kind of pulled around. And most people don't care what they go to see. Uh-huh. Whereas if you have a very strict schedule, which right. I did, you know, you end up going to some stuff alone.
And your schedule was strict because these were bands you always wanted to see either they weren't coming through town or...
Yeah, one of the reasons I like the festival is that a lot of bands from Europe will play that don't... either aren't going to tour here or haven't toured here yet. Uh-huh. One of the bands I saw, Embrace, which is kind of a pussy version of Coldplay, if you can imagine that. they have been around forever. They may have... I think they played some shows here, but they've never done a full U.S. tour. And so they weren't exactly like, you know... On the edge of, you know, sort of hot stuff coming out, but it's like they've been around for 8 years now, nine years maybe, and I've never got a chance to see them. So they were a band that I had to see, and most people were like, you know, going to see Elvis Costello or something. So they were a band I definitely wanted to catch, and you know, you just end. There's a lot of conflicting. I mean, it's like if people from out here go to Coachella, it's like Coachella with three stages and a dance tent times 5 or 10. And there's just so many different venues you can go to. Some of them are kind of far, so it's even more of a commitment cab ride away to get to where Elvis Costello played and Spoon played. There's sort of different ways to get into shows. Like you can get a wristband or a badge, and the badge is more powerful than the wristband. So if you have a wristband, you have to wait in lines a lot. So you can leave one show halfway through. Last year I had a badge, so I could leave one show and then flash my badge and get right in halfway through a band set, see the second half of a second band during the same time slot. Whereas with the wristband, you go do that, you're going to be stuck in line for the second half of the band set.
Oh, that's interesting. So the badge is sort of like a fast pass or like if you're in a toll, like
it's, the toll it's an line easy pass.
Or whatever, yeah. Easy pass.
It's a very expensive easy pass, though. last year, the badge, I would say if you're going to get the badge, it's best to buy early, which is September they go on sale, and then the festival's in March. I bought early, and it was $225, which I thought was really reasonable for 5 nights. And then this year, it went up to $350.
Whoa.
So it's like 50% increase. So I was like, screw that. And got someone, a friend in Austin, to pick up a wristband for me, which are $110 for locals down there. If you buy it as a person from out of town, you have to book a hotel room through them, but they only offer you the more expensive hotel rooms.
That's so weird that you have to... that they won't even let you buy a ticket or anything unless you have.
I think they're trying to avoid scalping. But what it does is then, you know, like I went and got a hotel. There's actually one cheap hotel down there that's within walking distance of everything, and it's not on their list of.
Oh, and they'll let you.
They'll let you book, you know, like the Omni Hotel, which is like the kind of hot hotel down there. It's like $199 a night, and so you can book a room there. And if you book a room through the South by Southwest website, then you can get a wristband for $150. But if you know someone in Austin, you can get one for $100, $110, I think, and book your own hotel somewhere else.
Right.
So that's what I did. Was I got a cheap hotel that was, you know, within walking distance of stuff, and then got the wristband from somewhere else. But it is not as good as the badge. I mean, most people get sent by places, you know, music labels and magazines and stuff. And if you do that, you get the badge and you just start flashing that thing. You get in anywhere and everywhere.
I bet it makes you feel pretty good too.
Last year I felt pretty good. This year I felt kind of small.
So it sounds like you saw quite a few bands. Can you what would you say would be your favorite band of the whole show?
I would say my favorite band. I mean, it's weird because I saw something like LCD Sound System, who I love, and I'd seen a couple times before, so it wasn't sort of... They were amazing, but it wasn't as much of a surprise as this band. My favorite sort of discovery of the festival was a band called This Microwave World, who are actually an Austin local band, and just put on a terrific show, and I picked up their CD, and the song that I think we have is not from their CD. They have it up on their website, in addition to a couple of others, but the CD is very good.
This one's called In Hospital?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. So we're going to hear that In Hospital from This Microwave World.
Local Austin. We'll be right back.
It's quite a little drum fill there at the end. So what that last track after This Microwave World, that was Epo
555, and okay. The song is called Les Beats on Fire. They're actually a Danish band, and I'd put them on a mix CD for a friend of mine in New York, and then she somehow got hold of them and started. She works at a music PR company called Girly Action in New York. And then she started working with them and got them a gig at South by Southwest on like a Danish-Swedish showcase.
Oh, cool.
And they're on, I think, the same label as the Ravenettes.
Were the Ravenettes were at South by Southwest?
They were.
Were they on that same showcase?
No, they weren't. Or? That was more like bands you've never heard of
playing
together. And then Ravenettes played some big show with Aqualung and a couple other people.
Oh, right. That was like KCRW maybe or BBC One or something like that.
One of those. All the radio stations have big, like, set piece shows down there.
So so we heard a little bit about money saving opportunities on, you know, tickets and hotels. Is there anything else for someone who's maybe listening to some of this music and thinking that next year they'd like to go? I mean, this is like a 5-day thing, right? It was Wednesday through Sunday.
To Saturday, Wednesday night to Saturday night.
But it's not all music, right? It's also film and, I saw Robert Plant had like a keynote speech.
The thing is, the badges I was talking about before, those will get you access to everything. You can get, you know, go to see all the keynote speakers. I think it was like Bob Odenkirk spoke this year for some reason. I don't know why. Robert Plant, I think last year Little Richard spoke, so it's like a really mixed bag of like random people related to music or not. And
they're talking about either their careers or what the music industry is like. Most of the people that are at the shows are industry people. So.
And you get a lot of like Kings of Convenience, and they made a bunch of jokes about like, you know, who are all these 50-year-old bald men out there? Oh, you're just fans, right? Yeah, you're from the music industry, we know. So there's a lot of there's a bit of animosity towards like, right. We want to play a real show now. We're fans come instead of all these executives and label whores.
Right.
But if you get the badge, you can go do all that. But if you don't, I mean, that's during the day. And the film festival is actually, it overlaps, but it's a couple days. It starts before the music festival. And I think the interactive goes after the music, but they're kind of separate. They overlap a little bit, but the music is still the main draw. But there's also websites where you can get sort of off the record South by Southwest day schedules, because all these bands that are from other countries and stuff, or even local, will just play tons of shows. They're there, so they might as well play as many shows as they can. So they'll play a bunch of shows during the day, and those same bars will then have like free food, free booze. Some of them are like invite type things, but most of them are just sort of, if you just flew down there and didn't want to buy anything, a badge or a wristband, you could just go to all these free day shows and see, I would say 80% of these, well, 70-80% of these bands that are playing down there during the day for absolutely nothing.
Wow. Because they're just trying to get exposure.
They just want all the exposure they can. Right. But from what I heard this year, the people that organize the regular festival are getting a little pissed that, although that I'm sure there are people that just fly in, see day shows, and then go out some see a movie at night or something,
right,
and aren't paying for badges. So they don't like that. But
I should have done that.
You should have. But it's the thing is, it's like I went with a friend last year, and I think he wasn't ready. And I'd been to like Lollapalooza. And I think by the first day, he was like, I can't do this anymore, man. And he just kind of went home. But it's really kind of a hardcore festival. If I mean, it can be. You can make it whatever you want.
But
you
you're
can,
not like in a gated-in area. I mean, it's at a bunch of bars on like 6th Street in Austin, downtown Austin, right? I mean,
it's true, but I think that's why people can get a little frustrated by it because it's... I mean, most of it is very concentrated. All the bars are along, you know, maybe a 6-7 block. Most of the bars are along 6-7 block radius. But I think it's also for people that like me that go down there with like a tight schedule, like I'm going to leave this band halfway through and go see that band and see, you know, 10 bands during the day and 10 bands at night, maybe. People that there's a lot of walking around and a lot of sort of go. It's less like a Coachella or Lollapalooza, right, where you're just like, I want to lay out in the sun and
right,
smoke a joint, yeah, and hang out. Yeah. Where, you know, some people are ready for that. It's like, I'll just lay here. You can go to the other tent, and I'll be here when you get back, man. It's really easy to get lost with people. And then, you know, your friend's stuck in one show, and you're trying to get in, and you get a wristband and a badge. And it's like, people are just like, I can't take it. So they can get a little weirded out by it. But, I mean, you can make it as intense or not intense as you want. I mean, I know people that just went down there and would say, this overall show tonight, the five or six bands that are playing, are generally good. I'm going to stay here all night. Whereas I would barely stay during, you know, for one set.
Some people get, you know, really distracted and weirded out by the crowds, and some people feed off of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're that kind of person that just can't deal with that kind of stuff, these festivals probably, you know,
this is because
it's a thing for you.
Because it's aimed more at music industry people, it's less like a Coachella, like hanging out for the day in a field, and it's more like, let's go, get your schedule, get on the ball.
Yeah. And plus, otherwise you'd miss everything. And
right.
And, yeah.
And plus, when you throw in, I mean, then there's these day shows that are then competing, if you have a badge, with the keynote speakers, if you want to see them. I think Wayne Coyne spoke last year, who I wanted to see, but, you know, Wayne Coyne speaking versus the Flaming Lips playing or some other band playing, it's like I would always rather hear the music than hear them talking about the music.
Yeah. But, that's, okay, so... That's a, I guess now we got a little bit of a feel of what it's like there. So what else we got on the schedule here? We have another tune from, what did you say, Lansing?
These guys are some kind of weirdo. They're from Brooklyn. They're on this label called Kamado, but they're some kind of weirdo like art collective group. And
you showed me their website. There was some. I mean, I don't know. It was, I think, LansingDryden.com or something, like Lansing-Dryden, and there was like art sculpture and.
But you have
it
to
sounds
keep...
like there's one guy, Mark LansingDryden. And he's got like six sections of...
The album is split into like six sections, which I think it's supposed to mean something. I don't know what that is, but I think they sound cool. The website's a little difficult to navigate, but now they're calling themselves for this. I think they'd been sort of playing shows, a lot of shows in New York with art around them or something. And now they have like a full band and live thing going on. They play down there. Another band that I missed that I really wanted to see because... They conflicted with five other bands.
I guess Fisher Spooner is supposed to be kind of like that too, where they've got like artists or in the band that are doing like painting and weird stuff like that, like on stage.
While they were down there also, but they just DJed. They didn't play this year. I think they played Coachella last year and then, or 2 years ago.
I wonder if they've got tracks on their website. I'd like to maybe play something of theirs, maybe not, you know, not today, but
if anyone can call us and let us know if there's tracks on the website, we'll throw that on immediately as soon as you call. Wait, this is podcast.
All right, yeah,
I'm new to this. Sorry,
and I really, I don't, you know, this is in my garage, and I don't really want you guys.
It's actually in his garage. He's not. It's not to sound cool. He looks like what was his name in Pump Up the Volume? Dick. Happy Face.
I don't know. Yeah. Christian Slater. Yeah.
Something funny. Christian Slater and Pump the Vine. Anyway, these guys are Lansing Dryden was their art collective name, and now they've called themselves LD Section 1. Whatever they're doing live in person sounds good on CD.
Okay, cool. So let's get a listen on that track. Here we go at Lansing Dryden. I think the song's called Metal
of a Gun.
All right. So that was Wolf Mother.
It was.
I gotta say, thanks so much for bringing all this stuff in. I was, as some of my listeners might know, struggling a little bit with trying to find
two songs for every week.
Well, you know, I mean, I got all this. I have, you know, I buy stuff on iTunes, and I got these CDs, but I don't feel comfortable, you know, ripping onto MP3 for the public. You know,
that's where I come in.
That I'm buying. But well, I mean, the stuff yet. We all got off the South by Southwest.
This is website. All legal so far.
So there's no. I mean, and that's all right from the bands and the labels and whatever.
Yeah, if you didn't get a chance to go to the festival, you should. I would say still go and check out sxsw.com. And basically, I think all of these songs, all of these songs we've played so far are right off sxsw.com. If you click on the bands, and then you just, it'll go through by day, and you can list off all the different bands. It'll tell you whether there'll be a little cassette tape icon right next to their name, telling you whether they have any music up there, and these are all the songs that they've put up there for people to download for free. So they're all legal.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's difficult to do, you know. I mean, there's a variety of websites that, you know, I've started to uncover stuff. One of them was epitonic.com, and then
InSound.
What's the one that you said?
It's called InSound.com.
InSound.com. So, you know, I'll publish some of those links on my website so you guys out there can get stuff too. We've just wanted to throw that out there that we are playing completely legal, available to the public, already available to the public downloads. So, in case you're wondering, in case you're like a cop out there, like trying to bust my ass, like, I'm doing, like, the best I can, okay? And I'm just trying to bring music to the people, and it's, like, already on the internet, so I'm not really, like, doing anything wrong.
Dude, music should be for everyone. Shouldn't be only for rich people.
Yeah. I know. Isn't that what all this?
Yeah, any cops that are any cops that are podcasting down at the precinct, like, Mitch McAllister, Notes from the Underground, let's go to the garage and get him. This fucker's going down. Cop casting,
yeah. I don't know.
I got a 211 in progress. Uh-oh, won't hear this till tomorrow.
Yeah, I got my donut and my coffee here. I don't know if I can make that.
I'm at Maggie's right now. There's a 187, but I'm busy.
So if any of you out there are cops,
fucking gosh,
and you want to start podcasting, you might want to consider bringing Chris Tarantino on. He has a fantastic mustache, and he is...
And a host of illegal MP3s that we won't be playing here on the show today on my computer at home, which is located at...
www.
Yeah, not going to give that out.
Anyways, okay, so here we are... wrapping things up here for the South by Southwest edition. I want to say thanks again to Chris Tarantino for coming out and bringing some a host of great tunes with him.
Thanks for having me in your garage here, Mitch.
Yeah. And so I guess we've got one last track here from a band called The Deers.
The Deers, who NME call one of the best bands working right now. Which I think they say that about almost every third band that comes out. These guys are actually pretty good. This song is called The Summer of Protest, and it's on an EP called The Protest EP, which came out right after their debut album, which came out late last year on Spin Art, and then this EP is on another label called Ace Foo. So, The Summer of Protest. We'll be right back.
This is a summer of protest that they can never defuse. Force is a language they understand, and force we will use. And force we will use. And force we will.
Revolution, 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 rev
Thanks again for listening. This is Mitch McAllister of Notes from the Underground saying good night. See you next week.